Hi, today is December 19th, 2021. This is Multiviews Podcast 386. John Westfall is on a super secret mission. So the good doctor will join us in 2022. But I'm really, really happy to have an old friend, Ryan Ozawa, as my guest co-host today. Thank you for being here, Ryan, on short notice.
Aloha. It's a pleasure to finally be back after 96 episodes.
I know, right? So the last time that Ryan was on was March 10th, 2019, podcast 290. We weren't sure about this pandemic thing at that point. We kind of knew it was there.
Did we? I don't even know if we were talking about it right around then. That's interesting. Yeah. I can barely remember. I feel like things only hit the fan around March of 2020. So were we talking
about it? Oh, you're right. 2019. You're right. 2019 is 1 year.
If we were talking about the pandemic in 2019, we would have been very prescient.
Yeah. I am sorry. It's a good thing we have a younger person on the show. We're a year away.
Yeah.
A year away from the pandemic. It was a much simpler time in many, many ways.
Life was so much simpler then. I agree.
And we're talking about Mastodon. Are you still on that? Is that still around?
I am not. I mean, I play with it, but I don't host the server anymore. I sold it, and it's still out there, and apparently people still associate me with that server, and whenever a white supremacist turns up, I get all kinds of... So it's interesting.
Oh, my. Okay. Yeah. So since 2019, not 2020, since 2019, it seems like this pandemic has been going on forever. Since 2019, one of the big tech news things that you are personally involved in is you were selected as one of the handful of independent journalists by Facebook on their bulletin.com system. I've been following it, by the way. How's it been going for you? I've been enjoying writing it and otherwise,
So the good thing about that particular gig is that I like to write about technology and startups here in Hawaii anyway. So... Right. When they announced that they were looking for writers, I said, well, I'm going to write about technology and startups in Hawaii. And they said, sure, we'll pay you. And so basically it was like being a blogger for free, but actually getting paid. So it's a very nice line there. But, it's really part of a broader initiative. As you know, Facebook is facing criticism on probably 14 different fronts for a variety of things, for a variety of its products and its various effects on things like, democracy, adolescent mental health. So this bulletin is, at the most cynical level, Facebook's attempt to get into the newsletter space. Everybody's doing... Sure. Review or Tiny Letter, or I can't even remember the big platform now that everybody's using, but it's the next big thing, the same way blogging is the next big thing and podcasting is the next big thing every 5 or 6 years. So that's sort of where this started. But they do also face a lot of challenges with news media, and certainly a lot of independent news and corporate news feel that Facebook is siphoning off traffic or aligning the deck chairs in a way that favors Facebook and not the actual publishers that create the content that people are on Facebook for. So in this particular case, they looked for journalists in various regions writing about underserved populations, and I happened to make the cut. It doesn't hurt that I have some melanin in my skin, and I'm located out in the middle of an ocean, and I do have a little bit of indigenous culture in my background. So it's kind of neat, and I've been really enjoying how they connect all the different journalists together, and we trade tips on how
write
an engaging newsletter or how to. I mean, a lot of these newsletter writers are subscription based, so they have people actually paying them through Facebook to read their newsletter. I'm not that good. I'm a free publication, but Facebook's actual objective, apart from them being successful, is for these writers, and not just journalist writers, to get enough subscribers on their newsletters that they're self-sustaining, that they can make money and do a business based on their email newsletters, which would be nice if it works out.
Yeah, it is interesting. And, that comment you made about Facebook using is, I guess, in a way to try to rehabilitate at least a little bit of their image, that's that's a long history of stuff like that. You know, the Nobel Prizes, if I recall correctly, was founded with money from the guy who invented dynamite and felt a little bit guilty. So, you know, you can never tell where something good is going to emerge from.
Well, you know, the more powerful the tool is, the more powerful it's a weapon. So yeah. I think that, you know, you can enjoy fire and you can also regret that we discovered fire.
There you go. There you go. So anyway, yeah, so it's been, wow, a long, it seems forever. I don't know when the last time, you know, I should know that one of the things that John Westfall and I have been doing, I'm talking to our fives of listeners out there at the moment. One thing that John and I have been doing is reaching out to old friends and getting back in touch during this, you know, 2021 pandemic year number two. And some friends we haven't spoken to, not because we didn't want to, but just didn't have the opportunity in like over 10 years. And in most cases, our friends are far flung. I mean, you know, like around the world, kind of far flung. Right. In our case, Ryan and I are roughly 30 miles apart. Maybe not even that much.
Less than that, yeah.
Yeah. So we're not far flung. He's near flung.
We're on the same rock.
We're on the same rock and island. But we haven't seen each other in years, right? I think, in person.
Family members I haven't seen in years, too. I mean, so, you know, it's our new modern world where we feel that being connected on Facebook or Twitter is enough, or Instagram, and in that way we are in touch. But yeah, I miss meeting up with you for lunch and, you know, handling each other's gadgets in a loving way. don't do that.
In a friendly and healthy way in the old days. I mean, you know, some people's hands are a little grubby, but you didn't worry about dying from them touching your device.
Yeah, now we're probably going to have gloves and all sorts of things.
It's going to be a different... You know, I was just talking to someone yesterday who has a young child, and the child just started kindergarten this year. And, we were talking, and I said, you know, someday when this pandemic hopefully is over, this child only knows school in pandemic mode.
Right, right.
You know, with barriers and outdoor lunches, and which in Hawaii we can do. In the mainland, it's a little difficult. And to go back to what you and I consider normal, Ryan, is going to be like a foreign, you know, foreign culture from their point of view. Well, yep. What do you mean, we can do this?
Especially when you think of cycles, right? Like even the high school cycle is 4 years. So now we've lost 2 years already. My daughter and my son, two of my three kids had graduations thwarted in 2020. One just had it in the front seat of my car, and the other one had to wait until this year to graduate, to actually quote unquote walk. And of course, that's not happening for this year's graduating class. Right. So, you know, within two more years, if this continues, whatever counted as a normal matriculation from either a high school or a college is going to be completely different, too. It's fascinating. Yeah,
it is. I mean, and I just a thought that, well, you know, for a five-year-old, somebody going to kindergarten this last year or this year, having never known what we consider normal is just, you know, sociologists and psychologists are going to hopefully be able to study this and help them through it when it happens. But it's a wild thought. It's really a wild thought.
Yeah, I mean, the speed at which things changed is still impressive to me. I mean, my employer was pretty committed to the importance of being on premise, right? And the magic that can happen when you're with people. And we, like anybody else, to transition to work from home. And it turns out we did that seamlessly. And it turns out the following year was the most productive year we ever had. And we're like, maybe there's something to this. So, you know, it's been interesting. We've tried to return to the office three times. We've come up with, you know, staggered schedules and improved protocols and all that kind of stuff. We get into the office and we're in there for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and then we end up back at home again because of the latest numbers. So we're finishing this whole year staying at home, and maybe we'll be back in the office in January if, you know, we get a handle on this Omicron thing, which seems very unlikely at this point.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because I have a couple of teams working for me, and I try to be data-driven decisions versus, you know, trying to make arbitrary decisions that they can't figure out why I'm doing things. And so one of the things I did was I said, hey, when the 7-day daily average drops consistently under 200. In other words, not the first day it happens,
sure,
but it's consistently under 200 for a while. We'll come back to the office one day a week, which happened back in August, I think. And then I said, well, if it consistently drops under 100, and definitely if it's down to 75 in a seven-day average, we'll come back to work twice a week, 2 days a week. Yeah, with 1 day being a team day, you know, we come in with your team, and we'll stagger teams on different days so there's, you know, social distancing. And one is a floating work day, whichever day works for you. And the goal was, this is me thinking, you know, through it in November, early November. So, well, look, numbers look pretty good. You know, let's shoot for January 10th as a, you know, maybe day, you know. And on Friday, having seen the numbers in Hawaii, at least, again, trying to be 790-something, I think, I said, okay, I'm suspending the requirement to come in 1 day a week with your team. And we're pausing the return to office on January 10th until we figure this out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully it helps. It helps keep everybody safe. I mean, you know, it doesn't solve everything, but we'll see. And
every time it happens, you know, fewer genies go back into the bottle willingly. So,
yeah,
at some point, there's going to be just sort of a mass, you know, revolt. And not that there already hasn't been in some cultures and some communities, but I'd say Hawaii is more compliant than most. But even I am starting to think that, you know, we're not that far from London, or, you know, riots in the streets.
Soon. Oh gosh, I hope not. But in telework, I've been a huge proponent of telework for decades now. You know, and I've been able to do it, not consistently like we do it now, but, you know, onesie twosies kind of things. When my daughter was an infant, my then employer, which was GT Telephone, let me work from home 1 day a week, which was awesome. And this is when it was difficult to work from home, to be honest. Sure. This is, you know, back in the 90s.
Did you forget to turn on your fax machine again?
Yeah, that kind of thing, right? And but I've been a big proponent, you know, and many times, you know, management just doesn't understand how telework can work. Maybe not how it should work, but how it can work, and not willing to experiment and, you know, take some pain along with the gains. So it's been 2 years have been really interesting for me as a telework proponent to see how other people have adapted to it.
For sure. Anyway, I'm a fan of flexibility because I got to the point after working from home that I was like, I miss the office. And then, you know, when we were sort of back at the office, I'm like, oh, I can kind of get a feel for this. And it's just finding that right balance. I mean, I think that in the end, that's where the best offices are going to end up. But I think the primary challenge is that the commercial real estate market's in trouble. That's for sure.
Yes.
You don't need the amount of space that you did when you had 100% of your staff in the office. If you get it down to less than 50, which you could, 50% on a given day, you know, you're talking about hot desking and, you know, massive amounts of savings in rent and cap and all sorts of things.
And hot desking or hoteling, and there are a couple other terms for it. You know, I remember GTE tried that, not with me, but with some other folks in the 1990s. And, you know, back then it wasn't, you know, not real popular, but it wasn't hard to do. But now if you hot desk, you got to disinfect all the surfaces before the next person comes in. And it's going to be a much more complicated kind of situation, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's been super interesting, you know, despite the general sadness of the world because of the pandemic. But it sure has been an interesting experiment, that's for sure. I will say one more thing about teleworking is, you know, I asked people to come back 1 day a week because there is value in face-to-face, like you just mentioned, you know, a minute ago, and that you don't get, and like Ryan and I are on Skype right now. And you just don't get on Skype or WebEx or Zoom or FaceTime or whatever. It's not quite the same. And this is even for existing workers. And I told anybody who listened to me, says, you know, I think one of the reasons why our work has gone unimpeded during this pandemic is because we knew each other, we trusted each other, we understood what each other's skill sets were, and we knew who to call on when we needed them, which we learned by, you know, being together. So that's why I asked 1 day a week. And the other thing is, as new people come on board, it is tough to integrate a new person if they don't know anything.
Actually, I was gonna, you know, mention that. I mean, we had the most productive year ever, even though it was our first time as a remote office. And we onboarded three people in that time, which
Nice.
is a significant portion of a 16-person office.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think was successful for us, because we were a very intimate is a strong word, but a very close-knit company when we
Yeah.
were face to face, is we build into our meetings, our Zooms or our FaceTimes or Google Meets or Skypes, we build into it what my boss calls clearing, which is a very technical term for talk story. We reserve the top of every meeting. Like, so anyway, before we jump into the agendas, like, first of all, what's going on with you? And more importantly, like, is there something on your mind that's distracting you right now that you're not going to be present in this meeting, right? It could be, your cat is sick or your kid is running around the house yelling and banging pots and pans. But one of the things that that did is it allowed us to do those things that you kind of forget about when you go remote, which is there is a lot of talk story in your average day. There is a
There
lot of
is.
catching up. There's the water cooler talk and the lunch line talk and all of that stuff. So we were still able to, I was like, oh, my coworkers' kids and how they're doing and my coworkers' husbands. And, I think that that helped a lot, that when you were all business, you lose what you were talking about, which is that sense of innate trust that I know you, and so I know we're going to get this job done even if we're not in direct contact, because I don't just know you as a coworker, I know you as a person, a family man, a husband, a parent. So yeah, it's I definitely think that those soft skills and those personal connections are still important, even in a telework scenario.
Absolutely. Hey, I know you have limited time this morning because speaking of families, you've got some family stuff to do coming up pretty soon. But I did want to get into that because you have a list of stuff to talk about. Now, first, what I want to talk about is something we ask everybody w when we're doing these catching up sessions: is
Sure.
what gadgets are you using now? And you've got a list, so why don't you expound on what you're using and
Well, there's
why you
nothing.
chose them?
I wish there were a lot of unique things on my list. I know that I've always that with your podcast and the gear that we all play with, longtime Apple fans, I had been waiting for the computer I have now for years. Which was on a couple of fronts. One, it's the 16-inch beautiful, glorious screen. Two, it still has, or they returned to the better keyboard. Number three,
Nice.
they don't have the touch bar, which I still think had potential, but they didn't devote the resources and attention to it that they could. But now this new M1 chip is really as transformative as everyone
Isn't it
said.
amazing?
It's one thing to read all of the specs and the benchmarks, and you're like, well, that sounds fast. But I still have that time where I've got seven or eight applications running, and I think my computer might be broken because it's just dead silent. It's a slate of metal without a fan running, without heat. I'm like, what is happening? Like, it doesn't even break a sweat. I feel like I'm insulting my computer by my mild usage. I just rendered a video this morning while I was doing other stuff, and again, I had to keep going back to the video rendering app to see where it was and to see if it had stopped, because on every Mac I'd used previously, it would be like 100% fans while it's doing that. And
There's no
this
fan
Mac
to hear.
doesn't care. It's like, whatever, tell me when you're done. It's great. I love the 16-inch MacBook Pro. I got the M1 Max, even though, again, probably too overpowered for me, but I always get the highest spec when I get it, because that's how I can go 4 or 5 years before I get a new one. So, in terms of investment, I love this machine quite a bit.
You know, it's funny because right now I'm recording this on a 2019 Intel. This is a pre M1, Intel powered MacBook Pro with the touch bar, which I thought I would never use, but I turns out I like it.
I like it. I like it. I mean, the sliding for just even the
Volume
brightness
and
or for the volume, or they call skimming videos. I like that it, because it was a touch bar, it could change what the buttons did based on the app. And that was also a disadvantage if you're a person who does a lot of touch typing, or what, muscle memory, like, oh, that used to be the escape button, but now it's the something else button. But I think it had potential, but I don't, I can live without it, because everything else about this machine is fantastic, including, by the way, yes, the return of ports that once were considered long dead and gone. So very, very interesting that even when Apple was announcing this laptop, they were not shy about saying, hey, remember when we got rid of that thing? Well, yeah, we knew you liked it, so we're bringing it back. I mean, they were very upfront that it was basically going back to the way people preferred it.
Yeah, and you know it's funny because this Intel-powered MacBook Pro just runs hot. You know, it's 2 years old now, I guess, 2020. Yeah, I bought it 2019, end of 2019. It runs pretty hot, and it's a good. It has a terrible butterfly keyboard, but as MacBook Pros go, it's a pretty decent one. And I did buy a Mac, the first M1-powered Mac, which is MacBook Air. In 2020, and like you, I just found it transformative. It wasn't just different. It was like, wow, why doesn't this thing get hot?
I mean, it's sort of like when the first electric cars started driving around and you couldn't hear them because there wasn't an engine. It's that eerie, like, how is this thing doing what it's doing without making a sound?
Right.
Just eerie.
Yeah, it doesn't get hot and the battery doesn't die, which is also kind of amazing.
that's also true. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, this last year was a good year for me. We got the new MacBook Pro 16-inch. I actually skipped two generations of Apple Watch, so I'm on the 7. I love that.
Nice.
I'm, of course, on the latest Apple iPhone. I think both for the watch and the phone, I believe I agree with those who say we're kind of reaching the peak of these devices. Like, apart from, I guess, if you want one that folds, there's not much that I can expect more out of these things than they already do. Yeah. You know, I kind of like that. Perhaps these upgrade cycles are going to get a little simpler. So now that everything's moving to Apple Silicon, I think, you know, I'd say the next 5 to 6 years of Apple living is going to be pretty, pretty calm and integrated well. So,
yeah. And I see in your list, you bought an AirPods Max. I think you might be the only person I know with an AirPods Max.
Really? There are four in this house.
Oh, my goodness.
My son got one first, and then I played with it, and I was like, this isn't bad. I mean, all of the complaints are completely true. First of all, damn, things are heavy. Like, you're not going to go to the gym wearing this thing. They do kind of feel like the old radio studio headphones from the 70s, like my old Teak or something. But they just sound really good. The spatial audio, especially when they started pushing that out to like Apple TV and other media sources, really made a difference. And to be perfectly honest, now that we've traveled recently, the air, the noise canceling on it is spectacular. So.
Especially since it goes around your ear plus noise canceling, so it's kind of double.
Yeah, it covers your ear. And you know, as a glasses owner, I prefer that because you know, a lot of headphones don't mix well with glasses arms, and the AirPods Max are soft enough. They do that very well. They still seal up very good. So I recommend them, but I do realize that they're expensive, heavy.
Oh, boy.
And, but I don't even put in my AirPods Pro, the little tiny teardrops anymore. I don't even go back to those.
Interesting.
If I'm not wearing the headphones, I'm just playing devices, music or sound out of speakers. And by the way, the speakers on the new MacBook Pros are also spectacular. Very you know, movies with the Dolby Atmos and all of that, and it's surprisingly good for a laptop.
Hey, and moving down the food chain at Apple, which iPad Pro did you get? Did you get the M1 also for that one?
No. So I'm on, I guess, the last iPad Pro, and I've had like 4 or 5 iPads that I barely used. I would carry it around in my bag, and I just liked having it, but I never used it. now this one, I've actually made an effort to integrate it into my life. It's, of course, good for watching Netflix in bed, but I do have the keyboard that Apple makes, which helps a lot. Right. So, and I will say that I would be the test case or the stereotypical case that Apple had been working on as they evolved iPad OS. Because when I had iPads that I never used, it was because it just didn't quite function the way – didn't cover enough of the use cases that I needed, apart from being a dumb media player, but in which case I could just get an Amazon Fire or something tablet. but now that it basically operates like a slightly simpler laptop with, you know, app switching and multi-screen and split screen and better copying and pasting between apps and dragging and dropping, and now it kind of it is something that I can use for computing, and I've now hit the point where I'm sitting at my MacBook Pro trying to touch the screen. Right. So now that is my head. But I do love it, and now I'm thinking I want to get the 12-inch one, even though it's the size of the cafeteria tray.
I know. It's
so
huge.
Big. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, 11 inches is about as large as I want to get an iPad Pro. I don't have the M1 either. I have the 2020. Mm-hmm. Is that? Yeah, that's pre. That's pre M1. Yeah, I have the 2020 11 inch, and it's with Apple. I bought it specifically so I could use an Apple Pencil too for my Doodle right. of the Day project.
Actually, and I got to talk to you about your doodles and your drawing. I mean, when I first started getting into iPads, I thought that yeah. I would be a sketch artist, and mm-hmm. your commitment to that artistic exercise has been an inspiration, but I have yet to actually do it. So I've got the iPad, I've got the expensive pencil, but do I ever launch a sketching app? No, I'm just still typing emails and watching Netflix.
We'll talk.
But I forgot to mention, yeah. The primary reason why I upgraded all of my Apple gear pretty simultaneously was when Apple returned to the straight edge industrial design.
Oh. So
new iPad Pros have yep. the 90-degree angles, the lap, the new MacBook, the
big speakers,
iPhones. I'm all for those sharp edges, not the rounded. And I was really sad when it turned out that the Apple Watch 7 did not have the square edges that was rumored to have. So they're going to get at least one more Apple Watch purchase out of me when they finally do that.
Oh, boy. And the last thing I wanted to ask you about is in your list of gadgets, you have Withings?
Yes.
Or is it Withings Health Hardware? I think I've bought a couple of those, but which one do you have?
So I have the blood pressure cuff. I have the bed sleep meter thing. I have the scale. Yeah, I think that's it.
How's the blood pressure cuff? Is that pretty good?
I really like it, and it supports multiple users. It's very portable. In fact, I'm not sure where I've got it right now.
I got to look for that.
But definitely among the resolutions I'm making for next year, including joining a gym, which is about as cliche as you can get, is to get a little better about my health. And I am also into quantified self, right? You know, just like collecting data. I use a mood journal so I can see a graph of what my mood's been like over time and all that kind of stuff. Pedometers and all of that. Just I love hitting the little health app and just seeing these charts and graphs of how much of a slug I am. So I really like the integration now of all of these devices, the blood pressure cuff that my kids can use, and it knows the difference between us, and the scale, the same thing. It knows that I didn't suddenly lose 70 pounds, that it's my daughter standing on it. And I've actually been focusing quite a bit this year on sleep because I'm a bad sleeper. I'm a fitful sleeper, and I wake up 3 or 4 times a night, and just so I'm trying to get bigger,
better quality sleep.
Better quality sleep. So I think that it's the fact that all of this now feeds into the Apple Health app, and within the Apple Health app can feed out to other apps that do all sorts of analysis and recommendations and stuff. I think, it might all just be voodoo and fake, but the more I think I know about how my body is doing, the better I think I can take care of
it. I believe in that too. You know, I mean, it's, nobody's going to mistake me for a bodybuilder ever, even when I was younger and fitter. But, as you get older, you notice things about yourself like that. Gee, that didn't used to hurt before, or this wasn't hard before.
Well, I'm definitely at that point where the effect of diet on my sleep is what was my most recent epiphany. I can't eat a Taco Bell burrito at 10 p.m. and not really suffer as a result anymore. Right? You're not a teenager anymore. You're not a 20-year-old anymore. So that's for sure.
Speaking of not being a teenager anymore, you are now a father-in-law.
Right, that's right. I have 3 kids, but the middle one is the one that fell in love on a video game and met her for the first time just 3 months ago in person. I mean, they've been together over a year.
Yeah.
But they spent time together in California for a month.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, of course, he came back and he's like, that's it. That's the girl. That's the one. And they got married 3 weeks ago, and he's leaving tomorrow. So, it's a whirlwind for many reasons. The weirdest year of my life. So it's going to end with my kid moving in town. Leaving town. His wife is a Air Force mechanic at Travis Air Force Base. So he's going to be a military spouse, which is interesting. Crazy time.
Having grown up as a military brat, I can tell you that it is very interesting to be in the family.
Sure, Sure. Yep. I mean, my late wife was a military brat and lived all up and down the East Coast from Maine to Florida, like the whole length of it. She lived up and down there. And even my dad, who was in the Army Reserves, but so he and my mom had lived in like Germany and Louisiana and all over the place. So it is an interesting life.
It is. It is.
And I think that of my kids, he's the one that's going to benefit the most from kind of that worldly exposure. So I wish him well. He's always worn his heart on his sleeve, but he's found a very, very sweet young lady. And I mean, wow, young love. There's nothing like it.
And as a result, you've kind of been traveling. I mean, I think part of the reason is
for many reasons. So we took our annual family trip to New York.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I took our kids to New York. So normally it would have been my wife and I. And this year we always planned to take the kids. And although my wife wasn't able to make it, we went with the kids. So we saw everything and they just had a blast. And it was just around getting cold. And we were just putting up the Christmas tree at, Madison
Rockefeller?
Rockefeller.
Yeah. 30 Rock or whatever.
Right. The thing that we did on this trip that I hadn't done before is we hit every single one of the quote unquote tall building monuments. So One World and Empire State, and like six of them now that you just go up these lookouts. And it was amazing. Then we went to D.C. D.C. was exciting.
Yeah.
And we flew back and I went to L.A. to go to BTS with my daughter. So now I'm a BTS fan, I guess. I'm the BTS Army.
Did a lot. You just did a lot this year.
Yeah. And after that, was when my daughter-in-law came to Hawaii, and we decided to get them married on the beach. So.
Yeah, I saw the photos. I saw the photos. They're very lovely photos, that's for sure. I know we're running short of time. I know you got to run.
I'm good. I'm feeling very calm and collected. You're a very soothing presence, you know. It's nice to talk to you.
It is good to talk to old friends. And, you know, this whole catching up podcast series that, you know, John and I have been doing with, I don't know how many friends we've spoken with this year, but it's been a lot. And a lot of folks we haven't spoken to in years. And it's like, why didn't we do this earlier? And, you know, maybe we should talk more than once every 10 years.
Right.
It's been really interesting, despite not being face to face, which would be optimal, right?
There's still, again, you know, social media gets a bad rap. I'm still an idealist about it, and I can thank Facebook for keeping me up to date on your beautiful daughter's growing up and adventures and your beautiful animals or animal your sketching exercises and all of that, you know. So we're not complete strangers. We just we don't really have a tie. It's actually time that we probably would spend together not talking that we miss the most.
We're asynchronous friends.
I like that. I mean, I'm an asynchronous person. In fact, you know, I make an exception for people like you, but I don't like to talk to people live. I'm like, send me an email or a text and I will get to it when I get to
it. I'm pretty much the same way. This podcast is my only social, you know, activity, generally speaking.
Well, you know, that's even better because you have a recorded record of all of these interactions, for sure. I've always wanted to get back into podcasting, and I miss it too. You know, I miss radio. I miss a lot of these media making opportunities. So maybe that's something I'll, you know, pick up in 2022, and I'll come to you for advice because what episode is this?
386.
Wow.
386. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
You know, I should know that Ryan, I think, is saying that with tongue in cheek because he is a podcaster extraordinaire. He had
that would be a emeritus or, you know,
emeritus. His podcast on Lost and other things were huge. I mean, huge. I have fives of listeners. He had probably tens of thousands of listeners.
It was very exciting. That was the golden days too, you know. I mean, it was still like ham radio, where you had to be a little, little weird to get into it. Now, I mean, you can just start up an app and start a podcast. It's impressive. But I'm all for the democratization of media. I'm all for giving everyone a platform and a voice. You might only have three listeners instead of 3 million, but why not?
You know? And you know, it's funny because I suspect I probably have met everybody who's a listener in person, which is which is fine.
That's cool.
But it's, you know, it's a way of like, hey, you know, I synced up with Ryan. Oh, what did Ryan say? Oh, just listen to the podcast.
That's right.
You know, and you can skip around if you don't like what we're talking about in any given moment. You know, versus me rambling on for 10 minutes trying to summarize stuff, and you may not care about anything except one thing. So,
to turn the tables as we wrap,
sure.
What are your resolutions? I mean, in terms of content creation, in terms of family and home and life. I mean, we talk a lot about work, but like,
yeah.
What does the human foresee or want to foresee in the
yeah.
year?
No, that's a really good question, actually. And I'm really happy to answer that. Next year, I'm planning to retire sometime next year from,
wow.
you know,
from the state.
From the state, yep. And
wow.
So I haven't decided when. I can go any day. As I tell people, you know, all I need is one annoying morning and I'm just turning in my paperwork.
That kind of freedom. Wow. I mean, Todd, not a state worker. I mean, that's like, what
yeah.
is that like? I'd really like to know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did spend a lot of time in the private sector before going to the government.
Right.
So,
GDE,
but I'm going to retire. I have no plans. Well, I have no work plans, but I do tell you what I am doing, that I'm going to come to you for advice. Is
huh.
A couple of weeks ago, I was just thinking about it, thinking about being old and stuff, and I paid my $12 to Google Domains, and I bought geezerviews.com.
Oh, very good.
And so I'm going to talk about, you know, old people stuff, including
like
technology
it.
For senior citizens, you know?
Okay, so it's not going to be like, what's wrong with your hip this week?
No,
it's going to be like, still technology, just...
Well, like, it'll be a bunch of things, you know, like maybe K-dramas or stuff, you know, stuff old people do.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I love K-dramas, as you know. So I'm not saying that tongue-in-cheek. I honestly am a fan, and I enjoy it, and it's something old people do. I remember my parents. I first caught my parents watching K-dramas decades ago. I go, what is it you're watching? You don't even understand Korean. It's really good. It's just really good, you know? But
have you ever considered podcasting with your daughter?
I have
with
not.
The next generation.
I have yeah. not. I do have some younger friends like John Westfall, who's not old enough to be a geezer, and so he will be our youth counselor, a college professor, youth counselor. How's that? And no, you know, we have not actually. She is so busy. You know, she was on furlough for like many people in Hawaii, and she got called back just a few months or 2 months ago, 3 months ago, something like that. And at the same time, since she thought she was going to be furloughed longer, she went back to grad school.
so now she's just double busy?
No, she's double busy. Although right now she's doing something I wish she hadn't done. And she and my wife are in New York City, the hot zone of, you know, the Omicron virus.
Yeah.
And so when they come back, and they went there, I think, just before it went crazy.
Yeah.
And I kind of said, you know, this thing doesn't look so good. You might want to cancel or postpone.
Yeah.
And we're going. And now I'm telling them, I'm telling my wife, maybe you should stay at our daughter's condo. And I'll see you next year. You just stay there a couple of years in quarantine.
Definitely quarantine. I mean, I had a friend who just got back, and they just started shutting everything down again. They canceled the Rockettes, and they're canceling shows again. Like, I guess we took our trip in November, and I guess we just squeaked in and out right before all of this went
all
crazy.
The craziness. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so as we start closing down, so you can do your family stuff.
just the brunch, and I appreciate you waking up a little extra early.
No, not at all.
Geezerviews.com. So, okay, so that's more content. I'm excited about that. I guess more sketching.
Yeah,
so
maybe more of that. And we can talk about that some more. My advice to you is don't judge yourself harshly.
Sure.
Just enjoy what you're doing.
You know, they were like Charles Schultz on acid. That was fine.
and don't spend too much time. You know, I started 15 minutes a night. Now I'm up to about 30 minutes a night. But still, you know, I'm not standing there with a paintbrush slopping paint all over the place, you know, going crazy. It's like, okay, I'm kind of not done, but that's okay. I got to go to sleep. Don't really care.
I'm very impressed.
Yeah, so, okay, so you You revived a couple of things recently, I think. Or refocused.
My various projects,
yeah. That's been going on for decades. I mean, like, I'm just kind of looking at Hawaii Stories. I guess you've been doing that fairly regularly for a couple of decades now.
Hawaii Stories was a group blog for a long time. Yeah. And now I'm launching it as a literary magazine. We've put out a couple of issues.
Interesting.
So it's more like for focused writing or fiction writing or poetry.
Oh, interesting.
Blogging. Yeah. And I just brought Hawaii Threads back to life. That sucker's been around since 2004.
Wow.
Old message board, still running. I like to keep myself busy, and I definitely like to focus on things about Hawaii and making sure they're available online. So Hawaii Threads Forum, Hawaii Stories for Literary Journal. I've got HawaiiTech.com, where I cover the tech stuff that I'm not writing about for Facebook.
Right.
You know, it's great.
Okay.
I even have an event calendar now. Yeah, it's good.
And for the fives of folks who somehow don't know who Ryan is, anywhere you go, look for Hawaii. Twitter.com/Hawaii.
Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Yeah. I'm okay. Yeah. I haven't been able to get Hawaii on TikTok. If anybody knows someone on TikTok, give me a call.
And finally, you have some media stuff you've been, I mean, by media, I mean, you know, fun stuff to watch. You have Squid Game and so forth. I see you have Station 11 in your list. Did you enjoy that? I just started watching it last night.
They've only put out 3 episodes so far.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing. I did not read the book, so maybe I would be disappointed if I read the book. But people have compared it to my 2 favorite TV shows of all history and time, and that would be Lost and The Leftovers. And so if you invoke those 2 shows and say this is a show like that, I am in.
So I started watching it because people, you know, I read good reviews about it. And I said, boy, this thing is slow. They need some South Korean writers on this thing. It takes about 25 minutes for it to get to the point. But
sure. Well, did you ever watch The Leftovers?
I did not. I did watch Lost.
Lost was a network drama, so it moved pretty quickly. But Leftovers would also probably put you to sleep. But it's such a beautiful show. But they, if you want to talk about taking your time, it's pretty slow.
And oddly, as a K-drama fan, I have not watched Squid Games. But did you like it? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
So I think it was fantastic. I don't draw as many deep connections with a commentary on capitalism that other people do. I just think it was good old romp, very violent but very clever. But I am among those people who feel that the last 30 minutes kind of ruin everything. So I'd be like, you know, right before the end, if it feels like it's the ending, turn it off, because then they kind of go past that point, and I was like, that was bad.
Yeah.
So just pretend the last 30 minutes didn't happen.
Yeah, if you're a fan of South Korean dramas, as I am, you know, their movies especially, not often, well, I shouldn't say not often, not sometimes their television, as much their television, but their movies are often very much allegorical. So if you watch Train to Busan, which was, you know, a zombie flick, probably one of the best zombie flicks ever, it's, you know, kind of a commentary on corporate greed and, you know, government ineffectiveness and stuff. And Parasite, you know, which won the Academy Award. I'm not surprised that, even though I haven't watched Squid Game, that it's very much sort of a commentary as well as entertainment.
Yeah, totally.
And I know, as a science fiction fan, I see you have The Expanse on. I still haven't seen it.
So did you watch Battlestar Galactica, the remake, with Edward James?
Yes, I loved it, all 5 seasons.
So if you love that, then The Expanse is a no-brainer for you. It really is worth it, I think.
Okay. That's on sci-fi. Amazon Prime, right?
It's an Amazon Prime, yeah, okay. Which is not a common streaming service.
I have it, though.
So for me, I just buy it on Apple so I can watch it. Yeah. So they just started the 6th season of The Expanse, and it's also following a series of books, which you might know. The most interesting thing is that this is the last season of the show for a couple of reasons. One, well, it's been 6 seasons.
Yeah.
But two, in the book series, this is not a spoiler really, in the book series, after this book, it jumps ahead like 70, 80 years.
Oh, wow.
And all of the characters are different. So that's fine for a book. For a TV series, you probably wouldn't be able to pull that off well, so they're just ending it here. But it's a very good show. I would say, you know, maybe the third season, just like in Lost, is the weakest season, but or was it the fourth? Anyway, but it's worth your time. I would definitely recommend that.
We won't get started on Lost because I know how much you.
No, no.
I loved Lost, but that last season, it was like what?
Man, I like the last season. Especially, I mean, if you're a time travel nut, it's good for you. But yeah, no, actually, no, that was the fifth season. You're right. The sixth season was very metaphysical, and I can see how that could be off-putting for sure.
But and I'll tell you a Lost trivia story that's just interesting to me, maybe. But so when my daughter was, what was she, kindergarten or first grade? I went to go pick her up at school, and I'm walking onto the campus, and I see a fight. You know, two grown men fighting with, sure. You know, on the lawn with a big crowd, including cameras. And I'm like, what is going on? Lost had not aired yet, but what I was watching was a fight scene from Lost.
Oh, nice.
I later realized. So my introduction to Lost is before I knew what it was.
Oh, no, that happened to me, too. I was walking downtown, and the restaurant across the street was gutted.
Yeah.
And it looked like a police station, and the doors were all wide open. So I actually walked around. And I was like, "Wow, it kind of looks like a police." Yeah, it is a police station. There's a sign, and there's the counter and stuff. And it turns out it was a police station from the first episode of Lost, which wouldn't air for like six more months. So,
right. It's kind of funny. You know, we in Hawaii, we don't have as many TV productions as, you know, places like LA and Vancouver and New York City do. So for us, when we see these things, it's like, what's going on? I don't get it. Now we're a little more smarter.
Yeah, now we've got like four or five shows. Yeah. You know, Magnum PI. My friend and neighbor here was just his role on the call sheet was Korean thug. So anyway, so he's a Korean thug in an upcoming episode of Magnum PI.
Well, and in another small world, our accounts Dell executive account executive had a speaking part in, I think it was Magnum PI. He played a clueless tourist in a hotel crime scene. So, but that was our Dell rep. And nice. On that happy note, I just want to say thanks to Ryan for joining me this morning kind of a soggy morning.
You know, I'm a rain fan. I like Hilo because it's wet.
And that's slow. Right.
It's the same reasons why people hate Hilo sometimes is why I like it. So
well, as you may recall, Ryan, I actually lived in the Volcanoes National Park for a couple of years, and which is even rainier than downtown Hilo. And I lived across the bay from San Francisco for a couple of years, so I am very, very used to rain. And and Waihewa. Let's not forget Waihewa and Schofield Barracks.
Yep, nice and cool up there too. And you know, fewer brush fire is always a good thing.
That's right. Anyway, Ryan, thank you so much for joining me. Let's make it, you know, more often than every, you know, 3 years or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I want to be on Geezer Talk because I feel like a geezer. I know you don't think I am, but
You're too young to be a geezer, but you can be our youth counselor. You can be another youth counselor.
You have a youth counselor. I have the attitude of a geezer, so I want to be an honorary geezer.
You can be a proto geezer. How's that?
Sure. I'll take that. All right, Todd, thank you so much.
No, thank you. And John will be back in a couple of weeks. But next week I have another near-flung guest. And so
the best.
We'll join you next time.